Sarvabhutanam Videshe Dunatishtati Brahmayan Sarvabhutani Yantra Rudhani Vayaya. Translation. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. Purport. Arjuna was not the supreme knower, and his decision to fight or not to fight was confined to his limited discretion. Lord Krishna instructed that the individual is not all in all. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, or he himself, Krishna, as the localized supersoul, sits in the heart, directing the living being. After changing bodies, the living entity forgets his past deeds, but the supersoul, as the knower of the past, present, and future, remains the witness of all his activities. Therefore, all the activities of living entities are directed by the supersoul. The living entity gets what he deserves and is carried by the material body, which is created in the material energy under the direction of the supersoul. As soon as the living entity is placed in a particular type of body, he has to work under the spell of that bodily situation. A person seated in a high-speed motor car goes faster than one seated in a slower car, though the living entities, the drivers, may be the same. Similarly, by the order of the Supreme Soul, material nature fashions a particular type of body to a particular type of living entity, so that he may work according to his past desires. The living entity is not independent. One should not think himself independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The individual is always under the Lord's control. Therefore, one's duty is to surrender, and that is the injunction of the next verse. Isha sarva bhutanam kridesha junatishtati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudhani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. Om Jnanatimanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshara Unminitam Yenatas Mai Sivarevay Namaha Ukham Karoti Vacharam Pangam Mangaya Jayvani Kripatamaham Mane Shivam Yenataram. So in this verse, Lord Krishna is describing how the Supreme Lord is situated within the heart of every living entity as the super soul. The super soul is the Paramatma manifestation. It is the Atma, or the individual Jiva soul, who is there. That Atma is a minute fragmented part and parcel of the Lord. Amayamangsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. This Jiva, this living entity, is individual. And as Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, this individual is eternally fragmented part and parcel of the Lord, meaning that he always exists as an individual. Never was there a time, Arjuna, when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings who are present in this battlefield, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. Therefore, in many places throughout Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna emphasizes the individuality of the soul. However, just as the jiva is situated within the soul, the paramatma, or the super soul, is also simultaneously situated within the heart of every living being, as described in this verse. And he is directing the wanderings of all living beings. What does it mean that he is directing their wanderings? Just as is described here, that Arjuna was not the supreme knower, and his decision to fight or not to fight was confined to his limited discretion. So, what Srila Prabhupada is explaining here is that Arjuna, he had limited knowledge. His living entity is known as Kshetravya. Kshetravya means that he is the knower of his own field of activities. But the Lord is the Paramatma. He is described to be the super knower. Because, as described here, he is situated within the heart of every living entity. Vedaham samatitani vartamani bhavarjuna bhavishanti chabhutani mamtu vedana kaschana. Krishna explains that he knows all living entities. He knows everything in the past. He knows everything that is happening in the present. He knows all things that are yet to come. I also know all living entities. But me, nobody knows fully. So, as the super soul within the heart of all living beings, this is the example is given. Just as a person who may be proprietor of a plot of land, he may be aware of what is going on in his own land. But in the kingdom, the king is aware of everything that is going on throughout his whole tract of land. He is aware of everything that is going on in all places within that tract of land. He has his various ministers or representatives who go out and to inform him about what's going on within the kingdom. In the same way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he expands into the heart of every living entity as the super soul. And therefore, being in the heart of every living being is this expansion, although we should not think that when the Lord expands as the super soul in the heart of every living entity, there is a different super soul in everyone's heart. The example is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yata Yavata Vanir Darushveka Sayonishu. The Lord is super soul, is situated in the heart of all living beings, just as fire permeates wood. And though he appears to be of different varieties, although he is the absolute one without a second. The example is given is just as fire is permeated through different kinds of wood. But the fire may manifest differently according to the wood. If there's fire in big wood, or if there's fire in a small piece of wood, you may be small fire, there may be big fire. There may be blue fire or bright fire. The fire manifests differently according to the wood. But the fire is the same. So in the same way as this example is given, that the Lord is situated within every living being as the super soul, and although just as this fire permeates wood, and although he may appear to be of different varieties, why does he appear to be of different varieties? He appears to be of different varieties because the Lord may act differently to each living being. The example is given just as the magistrate or a judge, he may act differently according to a particular criminal that comes before him in the court. The judge, he may act one way towards someone who's criminal. He may be tried or punished for his criminal activities. And another person, he may be punished for his activities. He may be awarded. Whether he's punished or awarded, it may appear that the judge is acting differently. But actually, the judge is the same person. He's not acting differently. He's actually acting according to the particular activity of the person who comes before the court. In the same way, the Lord as the super soul may appear to act differently or manifest differently. But the living entity, it is according to the desires of the living entity, that individual spiritual soul. As we said, the living entity is eternally an individual. That means he has his own individual desires. But due to his association with material nature, then he has to either suffer or enjoy due to his contact with this material nature. Purusha prakriti stohi bhukte prakriti jan gunan karanam guna sangasya sarasa yoni janmasu. This is Bhagavad Krishna also explains that the living entity in material nature, he follows thus follows the different ways of life, enjoying the three modes of material nature. And this is due to his association with that material nature, and thus he meets with good and evil in various species of life. Due to his association with the material nature, due to identification with the material nature, the living entity gets a particular body, which is ultimately arranged by the super soul, but it is according to his own desires. Therefore, as the point that is being made here in this verse is that the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated on a machine made of material energy. And therefore, the example is given that a person seated in a high-speed motor car, he goes faster than one seated in a slower car, though the living entities, the drivers, may be the same. Similarly, by the order of the Supreme Soul, material nature fashions a particular type of body to a particular type of living entity so that he may work according to his past desires. So, although we may see unlimited varieties of living entities manifest in this world, there are living entities in lower forms of life, living entities in demigods' life, forms of life, human form of life, animal, insect life, these living entities are accepting these various types of bodies. But it is understood that it is the Lord who is acting. He is the same one Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of God, who is situated with the heart of every living entity, who is acting according to the desire of the living entity. And therefore, because of the living entity's desires, he must actually have to undergo the threefold miseries, suffering, repeated birth, and death within this world, due to his own desire. Sometimes, oftentimes, the question, why is it that the Lord is causing so much suffering? But actually, we must understand that the Lord does not want the living entity to suffer. This is the example is oftentimes given. The Lord is the supreme sanctioner, which means, as Lord Krishna explains, that he is upadrashta, and he is also, or he is the permitter, and he is the sanctioner, and the witness of the living entity, anumanta, and upadrashta. So one of the features of the super soul is that he sanctions the living entity's desires according to his particular desire to fulfill his desire in a particular way. The living entity cannot do it without the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as Prabhupada is explaining here in this verse that the living entity is not independent. One should not think himself independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The individual is always under the Lord's control. So what does it mean to be under the Lord's control? Does it mean is that the Lord is forcing the living entity to misuse his independence? Is the Lord actually directing everything and we're all just simply like puppets forced to act according to the will of the superior controller, and we actually have no independent free will whatsoever, and therefore our suffering is simply the arrangement of the Lord, and it's simply some game that he's playing, and we all happen to be the chess pieces on the chessboard, and being put in different places according to his whim. But it is not like that. It is actually, one must understand, just as we explained, that the difference between the living entity and the Lord, but the Lord, the living entity is individual, which means he also has desire. Just as the Lord, his desire is supreme, but the living entity also has desire. But his desire is minute. That is the difference between the supreme Lord and the living entity. The supreme is unlimitedly independent, and the Lord, living entity is minutely independent. We may desire something. We may desire to enjoy separate from the Lord. We may desire to enjoy something independent from the Lord. And therefore, it cannot happen unless the Lord gives his sanction. But because he gives his sanction, one should not think it is the desire of the Lord. He gives his sanction because of the persistence of the living entity. This is the child who may be persistent with his parent, but cannot do anything unless the parent gives his permission, gives his sanction. The parent may finally sanction the child's desires, but it does not mean that it is the desire of the parent. In the same way, the living entity desires. And according to his desire, the Lord, through material nature, fashions a particular type of body by which he can enjoy. But, therefore, the individual must, living entity must always understand that he's under the Lord's control, means that he is under the Lord's, either Lord's external energy, the three modes of material nature, and he's forced to act according to the dictations of the modes of material nature. Yes, one may be forced to act, just like a criminal, a criminal in prison, he is forced to act in a particular way, because he's in the prison house, but he doesn't have to stay in the prison house. If he properly utilizes his right of independence and acts as a law-abiding citizen, then the prisoner may act outside the laws of the jurisdiction of the prison house. So in the same way, when the living entity defies the laws of God, then he is forced to act according to the dictation of the three modes of material nature. And therefore he is forced to act according to the influence of these modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Goodness is described, the living entity is influenced by the mode of goodness. The mode of goodness is illuminating, it gives one actual knowledge. The mode of passion is symptomized by intense hankering, or intense endeavors for fruitive results. This is a symptom of the mode of passion. Somebody who is always hankering for some fruitive result is a symptom of his influence of the mode of passion. And the mode of ignorance, the symptom of the mode of ignorance is inertia, or indolence, or darkness, laziness. These are the symptoms of mode of ignorance. So these three modes, they act in different ways, forcing the living entity to act in a particular way because of his being bound by these three modes of material nature. Therefore, according to the different combination of the three modes of material nature, the living entities are accepting different types of material bodies. There are lower life forms, which are life forms which are more of mode of ignorance. Then there are higher life forms, like life forms of the demigods, which are more of the mode of goodness. And in this way, due to the different combination of these three modes of material nature, the living entity is desiring something according to this influence, and he gets a particular body according to the dictations of these three modes of material nature. But just as Krishna explains, Dahi yeshi guna mayi, mama maya dhratiya, mama ida ye prapajamte, mayam etam sarantite. This divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is very difficult to overcome. But if anyone surrenders to me, he can easily cross beyond it. And that is the conclusive point that Srila Prabhupada is also making here, that the individual is always under the Lord's control. Therefore, one's duty is to surrender. And that is the injunction of the next verse, just as the next verse states, Tam eva sharanam gacca sarva bhavina bharata tat prasadat param shantim stanam prapsyasi shashvatam. O skyne of Bharata, surrender unto him utterly. By his grace you will attain transcendental peace and the supreme and eternal abode. So, therefore, just as Krishna says that one surrenders to me, he can easily cross beyond the influence of these three modes of material nature. It means that when the living entity utilizes his free will properly, he is given that independence, He's an internally fragmented individual, which means he has desire, which is the eternal companion of every living being. But how is he going to utilize that desire? What is the object of his desire? What is his meditation? If his meditation is not upon the Supreme Lord, just as Krishna says, Antakali Chamaneva Smaran Makakalegram, if one is meditating upon me, and he gets the time of giving up his body, then he at once attains my nature. This is no doubt. If this is one's meditation, then by that meditation of the living entity, the Lord fulfills his desires according to his particular desire. If the living entity actually wants to go back home, back to Godhead, and break free from the sufferings of the material world, then certainly by his meditation, the Lord may reciprocate in such a way to ultimately release him from the clutches of the material nature. Tesham satatam yuktanam bhajatam piti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yinamam upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted to me, who worship me with love, and Krishna explains that I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. Krishna, being the supreme, all-knowing, supreme personality of Godhead, he also means he knows what is going on within the heart of every living being. That is the meaning of Paramatma, super soul. He knows. Knows, it's not something that we can pretend, it's not something that we can hide and think, well, oh, I'm going to hide my desires from Krishna so that he doesn't know what I'm thinking about, what I'm meditating upon. There's no question of being able to hide, just as we explained, all knowing means that he knows what's going on within everyone's heart. It's not, and because he's right there, just as the example is given, just as a person who may be close to a flower may understand the fragrance of that flower just simply by being close to it. So in the same way, the Supreme Lord is the super soul, Paramatma within the heart, he understands the desire of the living entity. He knows exactly what is our desire. So he also knows it when we're turning to him. And therefore he says to those who are endeavoring to please me, worship me with love, then what does Krishna do? He reciprocates. I give them the understanding. I give them the knowledge by which they can come to me. I reveal myself to them. I give them that understanding by which they can cross beyond these three modes of material nature so that that living entity can actually become released from the clutches of this material nature. That can only be done ultimately by Krishna. It cannot be done by our own efforts, but it can only be done ultimately by the sanction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Sanctioner. Therefore, Lord Krishna emphasizes that he is the deliverer of the living entity. He releases one from the clutches of material nature. He brings one back under his personal protection. Mahatmanastu mam partam daitam prakritim ashrita. Those great souls who are always engaged in devotional service, such mahatmas, they are under his Krishna's personal protection, the protection of the daitam prakritim, or the internal energy of the Lord. Those living entities who come under this protection of the Lord's internal energy, they do not have to take birth again in this material world. Whereas when a living entity comes in contact with the external energy, being under the dictations of the external energy, as we already explained, means that he is forced to act in a particular way by the influence of these three modes of material nature. He's forced, just as you've seen the picture of the Supreme Lord on the top, and there shows the pictures of the demigods, and it shows the fruitive workers who are working in this world, and the demigods are holding strings like puppets, and they're simply pulling the strings. So it's described, this example is given, how the living entities are being forced to act according to the extreme modes of material nature. They're all bound by these ropes, guna. Guna means rope. So they are bound by these ropes, which are made of very, very strong cords. And being bound, they are forced to act according to their particular desire. So, because of the living entity's attachment to this material world, he desires to enjoy something, and therefore, the Lord fulfills that desire. But although the desire of the living entity is fulfilled, he remains dissatisfied, because nothing within the material world can actually satisfy the self. Only Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can fully satisfy the desires of all living beings. But Krishna satisfies the living entity not by giving them this material body, this limited satisfaction with this material body. The satisfaction with the material body is described as having a beginning and end. It cannot fully satisfy the self. Just as the Bhagavatam states that the supreme occupation for all mankind is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service to the Lord, such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to fully satisfy the self. Therefore, all occupational engagements must ultimately be meant for the satisfaction of Krishna. When Krishna is pleased by our activities, when he is actually satisfied, then we can experience real satisfaction. But the satisfaction that one experiences in relationship to this temporary body is very limited. It has a beginning and an end. And although we may continue to pursue, by our persistence, its desires to enjoy the material world, and although the Lord may facilitate these desires, still, the living entity must be punished. Just like the example is given, just like the government sometimes opens up various liquor houses because people are inclined to take intoxication. So the government regulates control of the liquor. Although the government controls the liquor houses, if a person goes and purchases so much intoxication, and he gets so intoxicated that he goes out and he commits some crime, if he is punished for his crime, it is not the responsibility of the government because of the government's distribution of intoxication. It is because he abused. So in the same way, although the Supreme Lord sanctions the living entities, that yes, if you want to enjoy this material body, you want to enjoy this material world, he provides that facility for the living entity. He is not directly responsible. It is the living entity who is responsible. And therefore, only when the living entity uses his mind and independence, and there thus once again turns to Krishna and properly utilizes that independence to serve the Lord, can he actually ultimately be released from the clutches of material nature. Therefore, that is why this emphasis is being placed here, that although the living entity is wandering, the Lord is directing the wanderings of all living entities. It is according to the desires of the living entity himself. Therefore, the process of devotional service means the cultivation of desire. Simply, we have to revert that desire, which has been misdirected towards the temporary material energy, once again be reverted back to one's original desire, to worship the Supreme Lord and to serve the Supreme Lord, which is the actual eternal desire of every living being. That process of devotional service means to restore or to revive that dormant Krishna consciousness, which is there within the heart of every living entity. Revival of Krishna consciousness begins by hearing about the transcendental instructions of the Lord and by the divine intervention of the Lord. Just as we explained, the Lord is situated within the heart as the super soul. So in the same way, when he sees the living entity turn to him, then the Lord helps that living entity come to him. That turning point, what is the actual beginning? What is that turning point which causes the living entity to turn to him? That turning point begins by divine intervention or by divine grace. We understand that the Lord is very kind. Although he fulfills everyone's desire, he gives everyone what they want according to their desire, still, he comes himself or he sends his representative to reawaken the living entity from his sleeping condition, from his forgetful condition. The Lord is always giving facility for the living entity to turn once again and back to his original consciousness. And by the desire of the Lord's devotees, and then somehow, even though the living entity may desire to stay in the material world, but by the desire of the devotees of the Lord, the devotees are described to be very, very kind, compassionate. Vanchukalpa turubhyascha kripa sindhuvi evacha patitanam pavanivyo vaishnavivyo namo namaha. We regularly offer our obeisances to Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, who can fulfill the desires of everyone, and they are full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. A Vaishnava means one who is actually manifesting or feeling compassion that he cannot tolerate to see the living entities have to suffer repeated birth and death within the material world. Therefore, based on his compassion, he is always very anxious to deliver the message of Godhead and to give its knowledge of the Supreme Lord to the forgetful conditioned souls. He also has desire. He is also an individual. But his desire, being full of compassion, is in accordance with the desire of the Lord. Therefore, when a Vaishnava desires to deliver the conditioned soul from the clutches of material nature, then by his divine grace, or by his divine intervention, the living entity may get the opportunity to turn his attention once again back to the Lord. This is described the characteristic of the association of a Vaishnava. Therefore, it is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Tulayama Lavenapi, Nasvagam Napunabhavam, Bhagavat Sanghi Sangasya, Kim Matyanam Utashisha, that the value of a moment's association with a devotee of the Lord that cannot be compared to elevation to heavenly planets, to liberation from matter, or to worldly prosperity, which is ultimately meant for those who are meant for death. Because by the association of a Vaishnava, even one moment's association, one can actually once again turn back to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and experience, even for a moment, that actually Krishna is the Supreme Controller and I am His eternal servant. Even that moment's association with Krishna can enable one to actually begin the process of devotional service. Therefore, Bhagavatam also states, what is the value of the prolonged life which is wasted, inexperienced by years in this world? Better one moment of full consciousness, because that enables one to search after his ultimate interest. So even if one gets, for one moment, the opportunity to hear about Krishna, or to remember Krishna, or for one moment even to get a glimpse of Krishna's glories, just as we were explaining the other evening though, to get a glimpse of the greatness of Lord Krishna, cannot be achieved unless one actually receives the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Atapi te deva padam vijadraya prasadalisanagrihita evihi. Unless one experiences a drop of mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can never understand the greatness of Krishna's personality. So, as we explained, this drop of mercy means that that mercy comes from the manifestation of that person who is carrying the mercy of the Lord. By His mercy, even those who are struggling with material nature, trying to enjoy separate from Krishna, and having to suffer repeated birth and death in the material world, they can be released from the clutches of material nature simply by a moment's association, simply by hearing about Krishna. Therefore, that is the value. And once having heard about Krishna, and once having come in contact with Krishna, therefore, one can begin the path back home, back to Godhead. And this is the result of even a moment's association. Because it's described that even one moment's Krishna consciousness can never be lost. Nehava kama nashusti pratyavayam vijite svapam apyasi dhammasya trayate mahato bhayat. That in this endeavor there's never any loss, nor is there any diminution. And a little advancement in this path will protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. So, as soon as one begins the process of devotional service, then it is understood that his path back home, back to Godhead, becomes open. If he simply continues to hear about Krishna and to follow the instructions, the superior instructions of the Lord as delivered by the Lord and His pure devotees, then gradually, as Krishna says, if one continues to endeavor in this way, I will give him the understanding by which he can come to me. By His supreme arrangement, being the supreme controller, He also can release one from the clutches of Maya and bring the living entity gradually back home, back to Godhead, whereby he never has to take birth again in this material world. So, if the Lord does that, we should understand it is not the partiality of the Lord. The Lord is actually equal to all living beings. But it is simply because the Lord understands that desire within the heart. That desire which has been evoked, elicited, by the association of Krishna through the form of transcendental sound vibration. And through the form of the holy name of the Lord, and through the form of the instructions that are given by the Lord in the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and the message given by the devotees who are carrying the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, simply repeating this message. And therefore, this is how one can actually begin to cultivate that desire to go back home, back to Godhead. Ananyas chintayato mam gijanapayopashite. As Lord Krishna explains, that if one cultivates that desire and always endeavors, then whatever he has, he will preserve. And that even if the living being is lacking something, then Krishna will give him whatever he's lacking. He will help, because he sees that the desire is that he wants to go back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, we always have to turn our attention to the Lord. That is the responsibility of every living being, is to turn his attention to Krishna, and by turning his attention to Krishna, then help will be there, and he'll be able to turn away from the illusory material energy, because the Lord will help him. So, this is how the Lord is situated within the heart, as the Paramatma, as the Super Soul, and how he is acting. Although he may appear to be acting differently, he is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is manifest within everyone's heart, and he is directing the wanderings of all living entities. Some are going down, taking lower life forms. Some are spirits, they go to the planets of the ghostly spirits. Those who worship the forefathers, they go to the planets of the forefathers. And those who worship me, they come to me. So one's destination is determined by his particular consciousness, which is the object of his meditation. Therefore, we must make Krishna the object of our meditation. And in this way, Krishna gives us assurance that anyone who always thinks of me, manmana bhavamad bhakto mam yaji mam namaskaru, that always think of me, worship me, offer your obeisances unto me, and then Krishna explains, surely you will come to me. Of this there is no doubt. This is the perfectional stage of devotional service, which is achieved when one is always situated in full, complete remembrance of Krishna. So, we'll stop here. We have a few minutes if anybody has any questions, comments, if you'd like to. Yes?
Yes.
When you say devotional service must be uninterrupted and
masturbated, why do we
practice
bhakti when love for Krishna is the main motivation?
Why do we practice when love for Krishna is the main motivation? We practice it because it's not fully manifested yet. Although love of Krishna is the primary motivation, and love of Krishna is eternally situated within the heart of every living being, it doesn't come from any other source, still, it is not fully, it is covered. And that love for Krishna is therefore being covered, is now manifest for love for so many other objects of our affection. But real love is explained by Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī in Nectar Devotion, that real love means to be able to repose all of one's affection upon one object without any diversion for a moment. That is real love. But because our love is not fully manifested, therefore we must practice that love for Krishna. Just as example is given, a young child practices walking, although the innate propensity for walking is there within the child, but still he must practice it. In the same way, the innate propensity for loving God is there in everyone's heart, but because we have forgotten, therefore we must begin with practice. The more we practice, then gradually that natural love becomes once again restored or awakened. But without practice, then the result is that whatever our particular meditation is, then we actually get the fulfillment of our desires, and therefore we forget Krishna. Just as Krishna says, Naham Prakasha Shavasha Yoga Maya Samavita, I'm never manifest to those who are foolish and unintelligent, for them I'm covered by the eternal creative potency Yoga Maya. So Krishna covers those who want to forget, those who are not practicing Krishna consciousness. They forget Krishna, and therefore they have so many other things that they are continuously thinking about every day. So therefore we have to practice thinking about Krishna. Smarta vyasa tatam vishnava vismarta vyona jatu chit salaviri nishayasya etiyo eva tinkara. The Krishna must always be remembered, and he must never be forgotten. And all the rules and all the regulations that are given in the Shastra, in the scriptures, they're meant to be the servants of these two principles. In other words, there are certain rules and regulations given in Shastra. We have to regulate our life in a certain way, by rising early in the morning, by worshipping the deity, by chanting the holy names of the Lord. If one actually performs these activities in a regulated way, he's practicing. He doesn't have full love yet. It's not that he's chanting or worshipping with spontaneous love. It is constantly absorbed in meditation. He's practicing, he's regulating himself. And by that practice, then gradually what happens is that
that desire which is there within the heart becomes restored. It's always there. It's always there, but it has to be awakened. Examples given, just as fire is in wood, but it has to be brought out by a catalyst. You put fire up against the wood and it brings the fire out of the wood. So in the same way, love for Krishna is there within our heart, but it needs a catalyst. What's going to evoke that love for Krishna? That catalyst means it has to be evoked by somebody who has love for Krishna. Somebody who has love for Krishna, he actually can bring out that love in others. Because he shows us what is love. Without actually seeing, having that experience in this world of what is real love. Why is somebody extending himself to me without any personal motivation whatsoever? Why is he doing it? What's motivating him to do that? We always are fearful that somebody's coming, he wants something from me. What does he want? What's the motive behind it? Why is he doing this? Right? But when it actually comes in the association of somebody who has no motivation, it has a profound effect in one's heart. It brings out, it's there, but it needs to be awakened. So when we associate with a devotee, that love for Krishna can actually be awakened, evoked. That is what it means to associate with a devotee. It means to somebody who actually has love for Krishna. Therefore, although it's always there, it can be covered by the influence in our life. There have been so many different influences in our life, but that and therefore it is not brought out. But as soon as we associate with a devotee, it can be brought out. And the more we associate with a devotee, the more we actually hear about Krishna from a devotee, the more we actually render service to somebody who helps divert our affection towards Krishna, then the more we actually begin to experience this manifestation of real love, which is selfless. And the more we actually come in contact with Krishna by that association. And that's what brings it out. So it's always there. But therefore, it is said that by the association of devotee, it's far superior. You cannot compare it to elevation to heavenly planets. You can't compare it to worldly prosperity. You can't compare it to liberation from matter. Even liberation is incomparable to one moment's association with a devotee. Because even though one may get liberation, he may have to come back again to this material world. His liberation remains incomplete unless he actually comes to the platform of devotion to Krishna. And doesn't Akhi start at 6 o'clock? What's happening? Uh-huh. I'm using one of those rules and regulations. I like these stuff. This is cool. Yes. It is situated within the heart. That's what Krishna explains. Mind is in the heart. Also, we think the mind is up. This is simply some apparatus. It's called a brain. There's certain synapses which fire off one another. Actually, the mind is in the heart also. It is. But why can't the mind be there? Why can't the living entity be there also? But you can't perceive it with these eyes. Therefore, Krishna explained in the Bhagavad Gita that the living entity is what is kutashka, he's immovable. He's fixed, situated within the heart. You can't move it. You may think that you're moving the living entity, but actually the living entity is fixed within the heart by by his particular desires. Even the example is given is, it's like sometimes they say, well, he's fixed in the heart, and what happens if we do a heart transplant? We throw the heart in the garbage, and why is it that when a person wakes up, it's the same person that was before the heart operation? But actually, that's what it means. The living entity is immovable. He's fixed up. You can't move it simply by manipulating the material energy. He's attached to this particular field of activities by his desires. So just as like you take out a chair from one person, and you put the chair over here, he sits in another chair in the same place. So you put another heart, he sits in that heart. He's fixed up. You can't move him by manipulation of material energy. Hardware, software. Hopefully not Windows 95, huh? No, it's not everything. Everything is actually ultimately controlled by the Supreme Lord. That's the whole point that we were just making, the Prince. Yeah, everything is controlled by the Lord, who is the Supreme Sanctioner. The mind is just simply like a reservoir for all ideas for sense gratification. But the mind, just as Krishna explains in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that's superior to the objects of the senses, superior to the senses of the mind. Superior to the mind is the intelligence. And superior to the intelligence is the living entity. So the mind is not the most superior. And the example is given. It's just like the senses are compared to be like the five horses. The mind is compared to be like the reins. And intelligence, he is like the driver. And the spirit soul, he's the passenger. He's the passenger in the chariot. So the mind, if it's held, the senses, if it's held very tightly by the intelligence, right? Because the intelligence is superior. What is that intelligence? Just as Krishna says, Savasya Chaham Kiri Sandra Vishnu Matat Smita Gyanam Apohanam Cha. I am seated within everyone's heart, from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. That intelligence is ultimately coming by Krishna, from Krishna. Just as we said, Krishna says, I give one the intelligence by which he can come to me. I give one the intelligence to forget me. Maya Prahita Jnana means one whose intelligence, which has been stolen by the illusory energy. But that intelligence means to be able to discriminate between right and wrong. Therefore, although the mind is a reservoir for all ideas for sense gratification, the mind is simply throwing out all these different desires. Hey, why don't you enjoy this? Why don't you sleep late? Why don't you eat this? Why don't you go? This is simply a continuous reservoir. It's like it's unlimited, tank. But that material energy, Krishna says, it boomer upon the Lord by you, kama no Buddha imacha. He says, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, these are my separated material energies. But it's beside this inferior energy, aparayam vitasthanyam, prakatim vidimeparam, jiva bhuta, mahabaho, yayidam, vayutesa jagat. Beside the inferior energy is the superior energy, which is the living entity. The living entity is most superior. Therefore, when the living entity, he directs his attention to the Lord, and he engages in devotional service to the Lord, because the intelligence, the mind, and the senses are all subordinate, they all fall into place, one after the other. Because of his desire to serve Krishna. One who has strong desire to serve Krishna, he cultivates that strong desire. That means his intelligence is properly directed, which means his mind is controlled. Krishna says, for one who controls his mind is his best friend, but one who fails to control is his worst enemy. How does he control it? He controls it. He has the ability to control it, because the mind is subordinate to the intelligence, subordinate to the desire of the living entity. But for the devotee, how does the devotee control the mind and the intelligence? Krishna says, yogi nama visavishan maki kintan saratmana shradava bhajate yomam sami yukta yukta tamo, excuse me, yukta. Krishna explains that of all yogis, he who abides in me in faith, worship me in devotional service, is most intimately united with me in yoga, and I consider him to be the highest of all. How does a devotee control intelligence and mind? He controls because Krishna controls for him. One who abides in Krishna with complete faith, worshiping Krishna in devotional service, then Krishna is known as Hrishikesh, means he's the master of the senses. Krishna controls one's senses. Krishna controls one's intelligence. He gives the intelligence. Krishna's controlling it. We simply have to desire. So that is the ultimate principle, is what is our desire, not the mind. The mind can very easily be defeated by one's resolute determination for devotional service. It can be defeated. Just as the example is given, for one who has actually received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, then the untamable venomous serpents of the senses become like serpents with broken fangs. They no longer have any poisonous effect. So the senses, although they're always waiting, looking for some object to strike on, but Krishna says, Vishayadini Vartante Niraharasya Dehina Rasavajam Rasopyasa Purhamjistvanya Vartante. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, although the taste remains, but he ceases these engagements by experiencing a higher taste, and then he becomes fixed in consciousness. He becomes fixed in consciousness. How does he get the higher taste? Krishna. Krishna is that reservoir pleasure. Another name of Krishna is Rama. He gives that higher pleasure. So that is, if we want to actually defeat the mind, if we want to control the senses, we want to have superior intelligence, then it is all based on our desire. If we actually cultivate the desire for Krishna, then Krishna will help us. He'll control our mind and senses. He'll give us the intelligence by which we can come to Him. That is all. This is the explanation of Bhagavad Gita. He's giving to everyone. But what do you want? What do you want? And therefore Krishna will test to see what do you want. You may say one thing, but Krishna knows better. We may say, Krishna, all I want is devotional service to your lotus feet. But he knows better. Oh, if that's what you want, then show me that's what you want. Show me. He knows. So, I think I should stop here because we really should have our tea. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadev, Ki, Jai, Samadhi, Ramakrishna, Ki, Jai, Gopinath, Ki, Jai, Govardhan, 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 Ki